Holy Spirit, stay with us now and show us how to love one another as your Son Jesus taught us. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus' command to love our enemies stands out among the teachings of the world's greatest philosophers and prophets. Many of us, most of us, I would guess, have heard this teaching before. And for many of us, we've heard it so many times that it can be easy to stop hearing it because it's so difficult. And among church-going people, and in the American South, where politeness reigns, it really is taboo, I find, to admit to not liking someone, much less admitting to having enemies. The word itself, even, enemy, it's a word that can sound distant, like a term that we use for standing armies in Eastern Europe. And so I think it can feel like a word that applies to other people with bigger problems and bigger adversaries than we have ourselves. I personally find it easier to, and less stressful, to think about enemies in more abstract terms, and then less about in terms of individuals with whom I'm interacting. But whether we name them out loud or not, enemies are no abstraction. To put it plainly, everybody's got them. That crowd of people that day when Jesus was talking in first century Capernaum who heard his sermon, they had enemies, and it was almost as though Jesus was just acknowledging this as a mundane reality of human existence. The 20th century journalist G.K. Chesterton wrote this. He wrote, "The Bible tells us to love our enemies and love our neighbors, probably because they are the same people." I think this gets to the heart of things, which is to say that enemy relations are just part of the texture of our everyday life. And we've all developed coping strategies for how to deal. On a broader perspective, there's a set of behaviors that have evolved with humans over millennia to help us cope and keep our enemies at bay. One time-tested strategy is to align ourselves with those whom we agree and to rid our lives of any interactions with those who threaten us, and definitely to fight back when it's warranted. It's just human instinct to align ourselves with friends and to unite over a common enemy. For us, after 2 years of on and off isolation, even our patterns of interacting with enemies have been disrupted. It's easier to just type a quick email or post something snarky on Facebook or give a thumbs down without having to look our enemies directly in the eye. And we're letting these algorithms of Facebook and Google decide for us who our enemies really are. So in this sense, it seems as though casual retaliation against our enemies is easier than it's ever been. When Jesus tells us to love our enemies, we should presume that the scripture is talking about a situation in which one has the power to present alternatives to hate and abuse. So the context, in other words, would be that one could strike back or one could hate back. We shouldn't read this as someone who's been the victim of violence, verbal or physical violence or abuse. That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about people who have the capacity to decide how to act. And he's offering a different vision. What Jesus teaches, which is to turn the other cheek and not retaliate, would certainly seem to work against our best interest. After all, it is really easy to love those who love us already. Jesus explicitly says that his teaching isn't limited to the realm of family and friends, but that it includes enemies and those who we don't want to have connections with. Jesus called the people around him that day into a unique way of being, which was to be a community whose distinguishing behavior is a refusal to treat other people as though they're your enemies. Our enemies. The vision is a community where behavior towards loved ones and enemies would be impossible for an outsider to distinguish. And loving our enemies is not about feeling good towards them. It's not a feeling. It's a series of proactive expressions. It's a way of being with one another. The passage today is a continuation of the Beatitudes from last week. It was all one talk that Jesus gave. So it's part of the same sermon given to the same group of people. And those of you who were here last Sunday heard George preach about how the Beatitudes are a call to action. How when Jesus says, "Blessed are the hungry," we can understand it as Jesus saying to us, "Get up, do something about the problem of hunger." The poor and the hungry aren't abstract concepts, and neither are our enemies. They're individuals with whom we're asked to engage. Jesus is asking us to forgive our enemies, to forgive them, to lend to them, and to pray for them. He said, "Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful." Our reading from Genesis this morning is about the almost unbelievable way in which Joseph forgave his brothers. Joseph encounters his brothers after they'd sold him into Egypt when he was just a boy, and he has suffered for decades since. And when they see each other again, Joseph forgives them so completely that he just wipes away their wrongdoings and gives them a totally clean slate. It's almost unbelievable. It's almost like Joseph forgot what they did to him, like he had amnesia. Judging from the characters of the brothers, I imagine it wasn't the last time that Joseph would need to forgive them. I imagine he probably had to forgive them again and again in future interactions. And for our purposes, I'm convinced that forgiveness isn't just a one-time thing that we get to just tie up with a bow and then walk away from our enemies permanently. To love our enemies is to forgive them over and over again, because God forgives us over and over again. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God gives us the grace to forgive and love our enemies. It's a gift because we do not have it within ourselves. Jesus gave the original sermon about loving your enemies, and he is the one who loved his enemies to the very end. St. Paul's, God's offering us a vision of love that totally eclipses our human instincts to try to come out on top. Because life with Jesus offers us so much more than mere survival. We're offered a way to live and thrive with one another, to continue building a community whose defining characteristic is mercy. Let it be so.